This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be discussing the Spurs' last four games and some recent roster moves by the team. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode. Well, Happy New Year. This is now 2024. I'm recording this episode on Wednesday afternoon to Mountain Time. So I hope everyone had a great New Year. The Spurs were back in action for a few games since I last recorded an episode before the New Year. And they actually got a win in that time frame. So let's go ahead and discuss the last four games and then what's going on with the team. Especially, we're going to be more concentrated in this episode on some roster moves by the team that the team made in the last few days. So let's talk about the most recent win. So the Spurs were on a five-game losing streak. Then last Thursday, they're on the road in a back-to-back against the Portland Trailblazers at Portland both nights. So last Thursday, they get a win by 13 points at Portland. They really did a great job in this game where they led very early on by as many as 28 points. You know, the Blazers would kind of chip into that lead, but for most of the game, the Spurs did hold a comfortable double-digit lead. They ended up winning. Victor Wembanyama, still on that minutes restriction, did a great job in this game. He ends up with 30 points and 7 blocks in just 24 minutes. So again, Wemby still on that minutes restriction. We'll talk about that minutes restriction a little bit later on in this episode. But with Wemby, against the Blazers, who were missing some players, the Spurs ended up getting that win to end their losing streak, their five-game losing streak, and so they got their fifth win of the season. So then the second night of the back-to-back, the Spurs are still in Portland. They're playing the exact same Blazers team. Basically, all the players were still there for Portland, the ones that played in that game. They were still missing some players, the Blazers, some key players. But again, they had like Scoot Henderson. They had Malcolm Brogdon, and a few other players. Anyway, the difference for the Spurs was that they didn't have Wembanyama, so the Spurs sat him out due to what they're calling rest, because we know that he's on that that minutes restriction due to the ankle injury he suffered in Dallas before he even played in the game. And so because of that, Coach Pop had already said back in San Antonio that he would not be available, Victor, for both games of that back-to-back against Portland. So they sat him out on Friday. And so without Wemby, it was a totally different Spurs team, even against the same exact Blazers team. So the Spurs went down by as many as 26 pretty early on. They did fight back to get the game into crunch time. So crunch time is when it's a five-point game, whether you're ahead or behind by 5 points in the last 5 minutes of the game. And they ended up losing, though, by 6 points. In this one, though, one notable injury for the Spurs was that Zach Collins got hurt in this game with a right ankle sprain. And now he has been out ever since that point against Portland. So then we go to Sunday. The Spurs are back home in San Antonio. I actually went to San Antonio for this game. I was there to visit some family, celebrate the New Year with family. But then also I attended the Spurs game as media. And so, you know, I got to see a few of my friends there in the media. A lot of people were out of that game. It was New Year's Eve, expected a pretty early tip off. And, you know, the Spurs ended up losing in a blowout. They lost by 33 against the Boston Celtics. This was kind of expected. Vegas had the Celtics basically favored by 15 points. So it was almost an expected blowout. You know, the Celtics are one of the best teams in the league right now. The Spurs did have Wemby back, but they were without Zach Collins. And so basic quick recap is that the Celtics led comfortably in the first half. Then it turns into that complete blowout in the second half where Boston goes up by as many as 37 points. And that was pretty much it. So the Spurs end up losing by 33. Then on Tuesday, the Spurs are on the road at Memphis against the Grizzlies. They're back on the road. They lose by 8 points in this one. You know, this game was pretty close in the first half. We know that John Morant's back now with the Grizzlies. They have most of their full team back except for a few more starters. Memphis goes up by 18 pretty in the second half. That's when it kind of turned into a different ball game. So again, close in the first half, Memphis leads by 18 in the second half. Another notable injury for the Spurs here is that Malachi Branham did get hurt also in the first half against Memphis. I am recording at 2:46 Mountain Time PM, and the Spurs have not released their injury report, so I don't know exactly if he's going to be back for their following game on Thursday. So Branham's out and he's another starter now. So he ends up getting hurt. Blake Wesley takes a lot of the backup minutes. They're at point guard, but then also Trey Jones starts the second half. Wemby was still in that minutes restriction. And so something interesting happened there toward the end of the game. So what happens is with about 3 minutes left, the Spurs are down by about 15 points and Coach Pop takes out Wemby for that minutes restriction. So he ends up, you know, going back to the bench. And, you know, I purposely went back and watched this on Wednesday morning, the day that I'm recording the podcast, because I wanted to see what happened, because there was some reporting both by Tom Orsborn and San Antonio Express News, but then also by the quotes that the Memphis Grizzlies sent to the media, and basically where Victor said that he checked himself back into the game, basically even though he wasn't supposed to, because you know he was already under that minutes cap of 24 minutes. So I purposely this morning went back and watched just exactly what happened those final 3 minutes. So he's sitting on the bench for most of the time. He's talking to you know, side by side by Sandro Mamukelashvili, and there's a few other players next to him. And then I don't know if it's like at the 2 minute mark or the 1 minute mark, he kind of just, I'm watching again, and I went back and paused and rewound, and he basically walks by the coaching staff, and he walks by Coach Pop too, and he basically goes to the scorer's table. And at first Pop looks to him, but then he just doesn't make too much of an expression. And then Wemby, calls Blake Wesley to check out. And so Wemby goes back into the game for Blake Wesley. The Spurs go on a defensive possession. They get a stop. And then on the following possession, Devin Vassell drives in. He draws in two defenders. He kicks to Wemby, who's diving. And Wemby gets a nice two-handed dunk. And he makes it. He dunks the ball. Then the Grizzlies have a situation where the ball goes out of bounds against John Morant. They're on the baseline, so the play stops. When the play stops, because it's time to stop, Coach Pop immediately calls for Victor to come back into the bench, basically. And he ends up going back to the bench, and he sits there for the final 2 minutes, and the Spurs, of course, lose by 8 points. What was interesting was that when Victor was out there on the floor, Mitch Johnson, the assistant coach, I don't know what he told Pop. Obviously, I'm just watching this on TV. He goes up to Pop and tells him something, and then he goes back and sits down. And then after that's when Wemby goes back to the bench. So again, reading the quotes from last night, Victor basically said that, he's getting frustrated with this minutes restriction because he feels like he's healthy, but he does understand that it is it's in the benefit for his long-term success for him to make sure that he's 100% accurate with, or healthy with his ankle injury, instead of trying to risk it. But he said, I don't know if that was more so in the heat of the moment, that he just really wanted to be out there to try to, because again, the Spurs got the game within like 8 points at some point there in the final 2 minutes, so it looked like they had a chance to maybe try to make some sort of comeback. So I don't know if it, and then Tom Orsborn of the San Antonio Express News had a good article Wednesday morning just saying how Wemby is getting frustrated with his minutes cap. So basically the Spurs' goal right now is to just keep him, or not their goal, but the medical staff's intentions are to keep him at about 24 minutes max each night. He's not supposed to be playing in back-to-backs. And so, Orsborn did ask Pop about this post-game, not about him, Wemby checking himself back in, but about him being on the minutes restriction and, when's that going to lift? And Pop basically said, they still need some more, they're still going to take some more time. They'll eventually, I guess, go back and look at his injury, the medical staff, and then determine if maybe that restriction can be lifted. But obviously it's showing some signs here that he did this, Wemby, that he is frustrated, that he feels like he can play in games at his max potential, and he's not able to do that because of this ankle injury that the medical staff is monitoring. So again, that was just something interesting to note, and I know it's something that I saw online post game, and I really just wanted to see exactly, again, I don't know what the coaches said to each other, what they said to Wemby, but I just wanted to watch exactly what happened on film, and you can kind of just watch those final 3 minutes as that plays out. And so and Wemby was there on the sidelines, supportive of his teammates as all of this was happening whenever he did go back to the bench. So overall in the last four games, the Spurs actually surpassed Vegas' expectations. So Vegas said they should have lost all four of these games. They didn't. They won that one at Portland. So they went 1-3 in their last four games. So now where did the Spurs stand through 33 games of the season? So they are now 5-28 overall, still a bottom three team overall by record, which means that they would have the best chance of lottery odds if this is the way the standings end up at the end of the year. They are back on a three-game losing streak since winning that game at Portland, and they do have some tough games coming up. First, as I mentioned on the last podcast episode, they have a pretty good January schedule also ahead of them, where they play some really bad teams out there. Offensively, they're still 29th. Defensively, they're 25th. One thing I noticed in the numbers, again, just running the numbers, fast break scoring has been an improvement for the team. So since the last check-in I did, they're now a top 10 team in fast break scoring. They're scoring 14.6 points per game in the fast break. And they're also improving in their transition defense. They're holding opponents to 13.9 points per game, which is 13th. So right there, kind of around league average. One thing I saw, again, when I run my numbers each night after each game, is that the Spurs have scored 20 or more points in six of their last seven games. And aside from that Memphis game that they only scored 5 points, that was an emphasis for the Memphis Grizzlies.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
His defense, Coach Taylor Jenkins said, was to try to limit the Spurs' fast break scoring. Anyway, before that point, the Spurs had basically scored six games in a row, 20 or more points, and they hadn't done that at any point of the season. So since I was in San Antonio on Sunday, pregame, I actually asked Pop about this. I said, you know, Coach, you all have had an increase in fast break scoring. You know, five games, 20 or more points. I said, has that been an emphasis on your coaching staff, or is that something that's kind of just naturally happening? And Coach Pop, he basically said no, that the coaching staff is not making this an emphasis. He said, no, we've been trying to push pace all year. So he's just saying that it's naturally happening, that this is something the coaching staff has been wanting the players to do, is push the pace all year with their youth and athleticism. And I guess now it's finally turning into something. In terms of what I see here, when I look at just like, you know, what changes has the team made, the main thing I see is the starting lineup change. So again, putting Julian Champagne in there and at the starting three, and then having Keldon Johnson come off the bench, I have seen that the numbers have, that's where the fast break scoring has really happened in almost all of those games since Champagne became the starting three. The Spurs have seen that fast break scoring increase. And now I do want to again monitor, is this a small sample size? How long does this happen? Because when I look at the transition numbers from cleaning the glass, the numbers say overall for the season, Champagne, this team plays a little bit slower with him, whereas Keldon Johnson, they play a little bit faster. So again, that's just something to monitor, was that they are seeing at least an increase in fast break scoring, and then also fast break defense. Now, Keldon Johnson has now played five games off the bench, so I just want to do a quick check-in on how he's doing since going to that bench role. This happened way back on December 23rd against Dallas when he first went to the bench as a sixth man now for the team. He's doing a really good job here in terms of scoring and productivity. He is having a little bit of difficulty with efficiency. So what I mean by that is he's scoring 19.8 points per game off the bench and attempting 16.2 shots during this time frame, which is the most on the team. His shooting splits are where I meant about inefficient. So he's shooting 43% from the floor, 30% from three, and 73% from the foul line during this time frame. He is the leading free throw taker right now. He's averaging 5.2 free throws a game during this five game span. And that's interesting, because normally it's Wembanyama who's the leading free throw taker for the team. He's grabbing five rebounds. He's averaging 3.6 assists to 1.8 turnovers in 30 minutes a night. Again, this is just by these five games. And so what we've seen is his usage has really increased, where for the season, his usage is 21.8% of the Spurs' possessions. It's gone up to 27.6%, almost 28% now of their possessions, his usage. And what I've seen as far as after effects since that change is that Wemby's usage has also gone up. And this is one of the things the coaching staff mentioned, Coach Pop mentioned, was that by putting Keldon in the second unit, it would have give him a better chance to be more aggressive when he gets out on the floor. And then Wembanyama and Vassell can kind of run the first unit, get more possessions there to run the offense. And so we are seeing that Wemby's numbers have drastically increased as well, with Keldon now going to the bench. But the player who's having a little bit of struggles with this, kind of trying to finding his way, is Devin Vassell. His usage has actually gone down by about 2%, not too much of a big difference. But again, you would expect Vassell's usage to go up, whether that's assisting or getting, taking shots or free throw attempts, but it hasn't since this change was made. Only Wembanyama's usage has really gone up. So again, it's a very small sample size. It's only been about four or five games for these players in this new role. But that'll be something interesting to watch. And I know that Vassell's just had a tough time right now shooting the basketball. He's had some low shooting percentage nights with the team. So again, he could just be going through a small shooting slump right now. But again, those are just some quick observations of how Keldon's doing off the bench, and how Wemby's definitely seeing an increase in his usage despite being on this minutes restriction right now. And now for the last topic, I just want to go over some roster changes that the team made in these past few days, and just an overview of where they stand right now. So last Friday, the Spurs made a roster change. They waived Charles Bediako, who was on a two-way contract, mainly because Bediako had suffered an injury, according to Chris Haynes of a Bleacher Report, and he was going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. And so, his contract for the two-way would have guaranteed, I think it's on January 5th. And so, they already had Charles Bassey injured, so they definitely need some depth out there, especially with Zach Collins dealing with injury, with Wemby on a minutes restriction. So they needed some depth in the big man position. And so they did waive Bediako. Again, he's supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks, so maybe when he gets healthy again, he another NBA team might pick him up, or maybe if the Spurs have a vacancy, they can try to look at adding him again. And so who they did sign in his place on Monday was, I'm gonna try to say his name very slowly at first, and then I'll try to get it faster. So it's Mamadi Diakite. He was signed to a two-way contract on Monday. He's a 6'9" big from the G League Westchester Knicks. Now, he hasn't played with the Spurs yet. He was available for the game on Tuesday, but again, he hasn't logged many minutes yet. And again, unless multiple players are out big, so I think that's the only time you'll see him get some minutes. Another new move the Spurs made was on Tuesday. They applied to the NBA for a disabled player exception for Charles Bassey, since we know that Bassey's out for the year with a season-ending injury. If that gets if that application gets awarded by the NBA, they say yes, then the Spurs will get a $1.3 million available to either sign a player, claim a player off waivers, or trade for a player. So again, that player, whoever they were to add, if that happens, that player would have to have a contract within $1.3 million. And so why is $1.3 million a number? It's because when you apply for that DPE, the disabled player exception, it's the amount of the player who's injured. So the Bassey's contract is $2.6 million, split in half. So divided by two is $1.3 million. So again, there's a chance that the Spurs could be adding another player, whether it's via trade, waiving, claimed off waivers, or by signing a player, if they get awarded that disabled player exception by the NBA. And I don't think that they would get turned down by the NBA. I think that that would happen just because Bassey is expected to be out for the year, according to the medical report from the team. And so just talking about the Spurs' big man situation, again, they are having some difficulty with depth right now. Zach Collins, Pop said on Sunday against the Celtics that he's going to be out probably 2 to 4 weeks with his ankle injury. It's not a major, major injury, but again, it's enough to keep him out probably 4 weeks. And then Wembanyama, again, he wants to play a lot more minutes, but right now he's still in that 24-minute per game cap where he can't play more than 24 minutes, and he probably can't play in any kind of back-to-backs, consecutive back-to-backs. So again, they are have some issues with their big man depth. And so, we'll see if they get that DPE, that disabled player exception, and whether or not they sign or trade for, or claim a player off waivers. And now just the last thing I wanted to kind of go over, because even though it is January 3rd that I'm recording this episode, in about a month from now, the NBA trade deadline will take place. It's on February 8th this year, 2024. And so I just want to kind of go over the Spurs' roster, where they stand, and in the event that they, as we start getting closer to that trade deadline. And I will go more in depth on this situation as the trade deadline draws nearer. So right now with Diakite, they have 18 players on the roster, so they do have a full roster. If they get awarded that DPE, disabled player exception for Bassey, they would be allowed to add 19 players, and that player would be allowed to be on either a full contract, a 10-day kind of contract. So they would be allowed that extra roster spot, basically. So that's something to watch, is that they could have 19 players on the roster if they add someone. Where they stand over on salary, they're $1 million over the salary cap, so a lot of room there, whether they want to make trades or sign players, which I doubt they will. In terms of signing players, I doubt they'll sign a lot of players. Just because they don't have roster room. And then they still have the full $7.7 million room exception. Again, I don't expect them to use it. They're available. And then lastly, just kind of two players to monitor in terms of the trade deadline drawing near are two unrestricted free agents this coming summer. And those are two veteran players off the bench are Doug McDermott, who's making $13.7 million this year, and also Jetty Osman, who's making $6.7 million. So I know that Doug's minutes have kind of been kind of inconsistent this year, where he plays like a good chunk in the first half. Maybe he doesn't play a lot in the second half, or vice versa. He'll play a little less in the first half, more in the second half. So it looks like his role has kind of been reduced a little bit this year. And then same thing for Jetty, where he started off really strong, getting a lot of minutes early on, but these last 5-10 games, he's kind of seen a drawback in some of his minutes, and also even his productivity. He's had some difficult tonight shooting the basketball and finishing and kind of creating for his teammates. So again, those are just kind of two players. I'm not saying they're going to trade those two players, but those are two players that they, unless they have any plans of re-signing those players, they would lose them most likely in the offseason, because obviously contenders or playoff level teams would want either Jetty or Doug in the offseason as unrestricted free agents. So again, we'll kind of see what what happens with the Spurs' moves now from now with between now and the trade deadline on February 8th. And then lastly, thanks for listening to this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.